Sawbones is a show about medical history, and nothing the hosts say should be taken as medical advice or opinion. It's for fun. Can't you just have fun for an hour and not try to diagnose your mystery boil? We think you've earned it. Just sit back, relax, and enjoy a moment of distraction from that weird growth. You're worth it.
All right. Song is about some books. 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Sawbones.
Just reached right across me there. Pardon my reach.
Sorry.
Sheesh.
Try that again.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Sawbones, a marital tour of misguided medicine. I'm your co-host, Justin McElroy.
And I'm Sydney McElroy. Sorry, Justin, I was getting our timer, so we were ready to go.
Yes.
Yes.
And you didn't. Have you started it?
Yeah.
All right.
It's rolling.
It's rolling. Podcast time.
It's podcast time.
Time to make the donuts. The podcast donuts.
This podcast is not about donuts.
I wish. Oh, man, we've done a medical donuts. How much of a history is there of medicinal donuts?
I mean, I'm going to...
Prescription donuts.
Can I say that if I was actually going to do that, that is what I would start off with. Like, I'd get into the search engine and be like, medical history of donuts.
And don't give away all your secrets.
I'm guessing. Well, that's what I do when I think, I don't know if this is anything. I'm guessing that's nothing. But, you know, that could be wrong. Maybe, you know what? When we're done, I'm going to check.
Check. There might be some medical donuts.
I bet there. You know what I'm going to get? I'm going to get ads for those little pillows you can sit on when you have hemorrhoids.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Have you been searching for those to give as gifts?
No, I'm saying that if I look up medical donuts because they look like donuts,
right.
I bet I'm going to get an ad for those pillows.
Yeah.
That's what I think I would get.
I don't need them because I have the great Preparation H on my side. So
sure,
no
sure.
What are we going to talk about then, Sid, if you're not going to talk about donuts, even though, I tricked you into talking about donuts for like a minute.
My dad suggested a topic for this week. Tommy Smurl, my father.
Okay.
And we got an email from Kestrel. Thank you, Kestrel, as well. But I had to shout out my dad because he had actually mentioned it even before I got the email.
Yeah.
So he sent me a text and he said, "Hey Beanie," because that's what he calls me.
Sure.
"Hey Beanie, is mushroom coffee really a thing? Thanks. Love, Dad."
And that's kind of a large ranging thesis statement, but the intent is there. You know what he means. Is that a thing? Or is it like, those are the two options, I think. You gotta watch Sydney's facial expression when someone says they've been diagnosed with something or they've started using something, because you'll either get a like, or like a, interesting, huh?
You know, it's one of those things where, especially since we've been doing Sawbones so long, I have these two people battling in my head, and it's the Sydney that understands social interaction really well and knows that sometimes you don't need to correct people or tell them that something isn't real. Sometimes you just need to be a pleasant person at a party and say like, "Oh, that's so interesting," and nod your head and smile and then excuse yourself from the conversation when you get a chance. And then there's the other voice in my head that is Sawbones Sydney that's going, "You have to tell the truth.
Yeah.
You have to spread the word. We have to fight pseudoscience."
And which Sydney wins? Trick question. I win because there's two Sydneys. Meow. So, Sid, is mushroom coffee a thing or what?
It's a thing in that it exists.
Okay, yes, that's true. Well, can I just say, you can argue the medicine of this if you want. I'm going to get into the semantic trenches if we have to.
There is mushroom coffee.
Okay, but is there? Because I don't know. I've drank coffee a long time. I don't know if I'm going to count this semantically as coffee by the end of the episode. I will remain to be convinced.
Okay. I want to walk you through how we got to mushroom coffee.
Okay.
And I will say, just to not spoiling, but to clue you in, sometimes these things are unsatisfying. Is mushroom coffee a thing? It's like a lot of the stuff we talk about on this show. Kind of. I don't know. Maybe. Anyway, how did we get here? Why are we making coffee out of mushrooms? Why are we doing this?
Because we ran out of beans.
Sort of. We've done a whole episode on coffee, so I'm not going to get into the history of coffee, real coffee, coffee, because you can go back and listen. It was actually a live episode that we did in Seattle.
Appropriately.
Coffee. During that live episode, by the way, I mentioned, because I was going back to see if we've already covered this, I mentioned that I'm drinking tea because I was pregnant at the time. Oh, I was drinking decaffeinated tea. Anyway. So we've had coffee since like 1000 CE or maybe earlier. We've had coffee for a very long time. And we talk about this in the episode, but to refresh your memory, the legend of where coffee came from, which is probably not true, but this is like the folk story of where do we get coffee, is a goat herder noticed.
What? That's terrible. What did the goats ever do to him? Just walking around hurting goats. What a jerk. Go on. What does jerk
feel
do?
Good about this?
No, I regretted it instantly.
A goat herder in Ethiopia noticed that his goats ate some specific berries and then were dancing.
Oh.
And he was like, well, I got to try these berries. So they made the goats dance. And this is where
yada,
coffee
yada, yada, Starbucks.
And then coffee. You can listen to the whole episode if you want to know the history of real coffee. And people love coffee. And everybody rejoiced because now we have coffee.
Huzzah! Huzzah, yeah. Zanga!
Initially, they like chewed it. They like mixed it with fat and made it like a chewy thing that you would eat. And then eventually they started boiling it and turning it into a beverage and you got coffee. And then things happen over time. The problem is once you've had coffee, for many of us like myself, you love it. And if it were to go away, you may be desperate to find a substitute.
You remember in the Fringe universe, Walternate and the others on that side of the divide didn't have coffee. I remember at some point the world's coffee supply had run out. If you remember, that was one of the main differences they established between our dimension and theirs, is that they didn't have coffee over there.
I don't remember. Did they just drink tea or was there another replacement?
I don't know, actually. You know, I remember it being a big deal when someone would bring coffee over from the other side because it was like...
You know, it's interesting because...
Fringe? Yeah, it is.
I love Fringe. Fringe is great. But if I don't have... if coffee isn't available and tea is available, that's fine for me as like a coffee substitute because I can get caffeinated tea. Black tea is... I don't know. It's in the ballpark.
You get it.
You know.
Chug enough of it.
But throughout history, even in times where tea was plentiful and coffee was not, tea was not good enough for many people. They had to find a different substitute that was more like coffee. Almost as far back as we have like commercially produced coffee, we have commercially produced coffee substitutes. If we go back to 1733, we can find oat coffee being mentioned, where you just boil oats and make some sort of...
These aren't
liquid to me, out of it.
The caffeination is not there with oat coffee,
no.
Right?
You know it's not. Saying? It's not.
Like you could call, like, milk don't make you float, correct? Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So if you grind up a bunch of almonds, mix them with water, wait, yada yada, almond milk, that's fine. If I drink that, I'm refreshed. It's good on cereal. I don't float. Wasn't expecting that. Not a milk thing. You can call it milk. Coffee make you dance. So if I drink like grain coffee or any kind of coffee substitute that does not make me dance, then it's not coffee. Do you understand? It has not met the minimum standard.
So I think this is what is most interesting as I was reading, because I wanted to, as I was reading about mushroom coffee, I kept finding mentions that we've had mushroom coffee for a long time. Like this is not a new idea. It feels new. It feels trendy. It's like a wellness thing, but it's old.
Feels appeal to ancient wisdom.
Kind yes. Of. And yeah. And so why were mushrooms used as a replacement? And this led me in this. That's why I'm talking about coffee substitutes first.
Yeah.
Because it seems to me that for most of history, when we needed a coffee substitute, we weren't necessarily trying to replace the caffeine. We were trying to replace the flavor and essence of coffee.
We wouldn't have even necessarily understood caffeine yet, right?
Well, by this point, we did. Yeah, by this point, we did. And so a lot of the time, the reason somebody would reach for a coffee substitute was because either coffee was scarce or it was a luxury, depending on where and when you lived. Or I wanted to point to, there was one specific point where it was banned by somebody. So in Frederick the Great of Prussia, wanted to get his subjects to consume more chicory or beer, because those were both things that were made there. And so sort of a buy local kind of push, like drink this instead of this. And so he said that he was just going to ban coffee.
Oh.
And then that way you can't. You can't have coffee, so you have to drink locally produced chicory or beer. And chicory actually, like drinks based on chicory, have been a very common coffee substitute for a couple hundred years now, at least. Mm-hmm. I mean, and even to this day, we'll get into that, but chicory is still something that people use as a coffee substitute. I have never drank, like, a chicory beverage, but my understanding is it gives you the, I don't know, everybody talks about coffee as having that roasted flavor. Which I feel like is such a vague thing to say, roasted. I mean, yes, I understand they're roasted, but like, what? I mean, like, I've roast vegetables, and that has a roasted flavor that is quite distinct from coffee.
I think when you're talking about roasted flavor, it's like, how close do you get to burnt, and then look over the edge and be like, I didn't. You know what I mean? Like, yes, I think that's what people want with burnt. Roasted. Like, no, not burnt, but you got to see burnt from your yard.
Yes.
You know what I mean? That's roasted. That's the flavor you want. Because you just want to live on the edge. I think that's what people like. They think, like, this is almost burnt, and then I ate it.
And I, you know, I guess that makes sense in the, like, okay, you smoking is not good for you. You shouldn't smoke.
We should have said that earlier in the show, honestly, in this production.
It's best not to smoke.
Yes.
At a point in my life, I have smoked a cigarette. I was never a smoker, but I have smoked a cigarette. This is, I'm just prefacing with, you shouldn't smoke, but I'm sharing that there, you know, I'm 42 years old. I've done a lot of things. I smoked a cigarette. And I always thought that cigarettes and coffee sort of tasted similar to me. And I think it's like that almost burnt. It's like the burnt. It's burning. It's like burnt.
Okay. Yeah. Maybe.
For me, I liken the two. Except
I remember college, babe. I was liking them too. Listen, coffee and cigarettes. Yeah.
Good. Well, that's why I thought they went well together is because they both kind of burnt.
Hey, you want to really twist your noodle? We traded that for kids. What?
Listen, the coffee stuck. Cigarettes, no. You shouldn't smoke.
Shouldn't smoke.
Don't smoke.
If you're going to get it out of the way in college, just treat yourself to a couple of years. Pure satisfaction. And
then you get
the pride of overcoming it.
Don't. It's addictive. Don't. It'll be hard to overcome.
You know what's addictive? Overcoming the challenges of addiction. That's addictive. Believing in yourself.
I just want to know, Frederick the Great went to the extent of employing 400 wounded soldiers to work as coffee sniffers, whose job was to go around trying to smell coffee and find, like, illegal coffee bootleggers, people who would be making coffee.
That's a good gig. I love that. I
like if you're that a coffee
crack,
sniffer.
That crack squad out there still doing the Lord's work.
I mean,
smelling. Hey, let me smell that cup, George.
I
thought so. Were they smelling people's individual beverages to see if they had coffee, or were they smelling for like production, like a bloodhound, like Scooby Doo, to try to sniff it out?
Yeah, looking for like a coffee still, except not a still, I guess. But you know, same idea as like you're looking for the secret speakeasy. Right. You're looking for the secret, the secret Starbucks.
Yeah.
You're looking for the secret coffee shops. You just listen.
Love that.
For some Norah Jones music.
I tell you.
And then you're going to find a Starbucks.
I get mine at the Old Village Roaster on 4th Avenue. And when Pete and Vicky have been in there roasting, when Pete's been in there roasting, you can smell it a block away. It's not a joke. When he's been in there making his Highlander grog or his, you know, Roastmaster's Choice, you can smell it.
It's good.
It's good.
So
now he doesn't have the ever-present threat of the government crackdown on his coffee production, though. Maybe he is trying to get it out to the streets. Maybe he can like put up some tarp or something to hide the stench.
I don't. Well, yeah. I mean, if he had coffee sniffers, if Frederick the Great takes over,
not so great.
So we really see a lot of. I want to highlight some of the different things because I'm sure there were examples like that all through history of coffee of people kind of, well, this is sort of similar to coffee, so I'll boil it. But it wasn't until we had like mass produced coffee and then it was standardized, because if we're gonna have people systematically finding a way to replace coffee, they kind of have to need coffee. And so people got hooked on coffee, and then if they couldn't get it because of war or whatever, they found different ways to do it. So in the U.S. Civil War, persimmon and watermelon seeds were roasted and boiled, and that was coffee. Sweet potatoes, peanuts was a common thing. In Nebraska, like barley, rye, corn, a lot of using what you got, right? Those are common. West Virginia specific, I found this recipe.
Okay.
Wheat bran, cornmeal, eggs, and molasses.
Ooh, that's rough.
You cook that down and make coffee.
No, yeah.
That is not coffee.
No, that's not coffee.
I'm sorry. I'm usually quick to defend West Virginia traditions.
That reminds me of like, there was on one of those Worst Cooks in America shows we watched one time where somebody tried to...
Make chocolate
from cinnamon.
Yes.
And they were like, it's not brown enough. It's still not chocolate.
And it was like, that's not what chocolate is. No, they had a whole conversation about like chocolate is a thing. Like
it's a you can't just like make something into chocolate by making it browner.
It was like alchemy. They were trying to do alchemy.
That's what this is. Like I've wrought coffee. You haven't. You stirred up a bunch of groceries in a cup.
There were in New Mexico, they use different kinds of seeds, jojoba seeds, sunflower, juniper berries. And really, again, it's the thing that people were trying to mimic. And it's interesting because coffee has caffeine. And if you drink caffeine enough, you will become physically addicted to it, right? Mm-hmm. And you will experience withdrawal symptoms if you stop drinking caffeine. We know that I am addicted to caffeine. We know this is true. It's interesting that people who were drinking coffee regularly made these things that clearly were not going to have caffeine in them and drank them regularly. They must have all felt awful and not known why. Or knew why but didn't know what to do about it.
Yeah.
Justin, one of the most famous coffee substitutes, before we get to mushrooms, that I want to talk about, I feel like our interests converge because it was made by C.W. Post.
Ah, yeah.
Yes.
So a cereal legend.
I want to talk to you about C.W. Post, cereal legends, coffee substitute. But first, we have to go to the billing department.
All right, let's go. The medicines that escalate macabre for the mouth. You know, sometimes I waste too much time thinking. Thought is the root of all suffering. You know, I that's something that I've heard that I think there's a lot of truth in. So why don't we try let go of thought and get into action, right? Get your project in front of you and start building a website for it with Squarespace. Squarespace is a fantastic tool for creating your website because, first of all, you can start building out these ideas in a way that lets you visualize them, right? I'm not a thinker that thinks in words. I have to think in images. So with a Squarespace website, you're able to start taking that idea out of your brain and putting it in front of you. And it's going to look great because the templates you're going to be using are made by world-class designers, some of the best in the biz. And if you're having trouble with any of the stuff that you're doing with your Squarespace website, they have incredible support that's there to have your back every step of the way. And with a Squarespace website, you can't just like share information. You can really kind of do anything with these websites. You can sell products, calendars, just keeping in touch, whatever. The Squarespace tools are incredibly powerful and flexible and well worth checking out. Head to squarespace.com/sawbones for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, use offer code sawbones to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. You got so much to take care of. Spring's right around the corner. You're busy. You're cleaning up. You're getting your life back in order. You're getting ready to emerge like from your chrysalis, like a beautiful butterfly. You don't have time to slave away in the kitchen. You don't have time to waste a bunch of time cooking dinner that you don't have time to do. You got to get out there, but you still got to feel your body. Give it the delicious, fresh stuff that it craves, right? Well, good news, because there's Factor. These meals are always fresh, never frozen, and they're ready to eat in about 2 minutes. You don't have to prep them. No prep, no stress. Slap them in the microwave, heat them up, and they're going to be delicious. Not like the microwave meals you remember from when you were a kid, kind of grody. These are nice. These are designed by dietitians. They're crafted by chefs. So you're going to eat well. You're going to eat in a way that sustains you and makes you happy. And it's not going to take a lot of your time. Head to factormeals.com/sawbones50off and use code sawbones50off to get 50% off and free breakfast for a year. Eat like a pro this month with Factor. New subscribers only, varies by plan. One free breakfast item per box, one for 1 year while subscription is active.
Hey, it's TV Chef Fantasy League. You know, the podcast where we watch cooking competition shows and we treat them like fantasy sports.
Right now, we're getting ready for Top Chef Carolinas.
We spend all year covering these competitions, but now it's time for the main event.
The apex predator of competitive cooking television shows.
Tune in, draft a team, and play along.
With your hosts, Sierra Cato,
Mike Gabalon,
and Ify Wadiway.
New episodes every week at MaximumFun.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Wonderful is a podcast where we talk about things we like. That's hard to sell in a promo like this, so we've enlisted the help of piano rock superstar Billy Joel to tell you about some of the topics we've covered. Take it away, real Billy Joel!
Diddy Rock's been on Lake Zion, Wilson Shire, Circle Time, Sega Dreamcast, Caesar Salad, Tower of Hanoi. Keep me up, eight time capsules, Wayne's World, Cheese Bulls, Wallace Stevens, Donkey Kong, Fun Size Almond Joy. They didn't start the podcast. Except that's not true, they did in 22. They didn't start the podcast. No, they actually did. That was in fact a fib.
Listen to Wonderful every Wednesday on MaximumFun.org or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks, real Billy Joel.
No problem, Griffin.
So, Justin, how much do you know about CW Post?
The bitter rival of Kellogg. Perhaps best known for his Raisin Bran. He spun off with that, I believe. But yeah, he was a nutritionist, kind of a devotee before he did his own thing. That's my best recollection of Post.
Yeah, that's a good... So yes, Post, he had early in his life, he had some challenges with... I mean, at the time, what they were calling a nervous breakdown. What
could be anything.
Modern day. Obviously, he was having some mental health challenges. And a lot of it stemmed from, too, he was having trouble with the various businesses he was involved in. He wasn't getting his projects off the ground, so he wasn't having a lot of success. And then he also had some mental health issues. And eventually, he went to Dr. Kellogg's sanitarium in Battle Creek, Michigan, looking for, like, save me, help me. Actually, his wife brought him there and was like, please fix him. Yeah, there's nothing to do. And he was fixed with food.
Of course.
Yes.
The miracle.
A lot of Kellogg's patients were fixed with food. It's weird how that.
Yeah.
If all you have is a hammer.
Yeah, well, that and restricting masturbation. So those are the two things you have. When all you have is a hammer and restricting masturbation.
I don't know if that was part of Post's story. I didn't read that specific. I'm sure that fact is out there or not, whether or not that was. But I could see that because he definitely, like, he started studying, like.
Sorry, that's a Kellogg thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, I know. Oh, yeah, and so, but I don't know if Post adopted that.
Got into that.
I know he got into cereal.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, he liked cereal, clearly. And the idea that, like, all health kind of stems from what you eat and
having
a clean GI tract and that kind of thing. So he read some medical books. He decided of all the things he was doing, one of the worst was coffee. He thought coffee was killing him.
Mm.
And he had once had a coffee substitute. When he was in Texas, he'd had a drink that was made from chicory. As like I said, chicory is a common theme here. And wheat berries.
Okay.
So he used bran and molasses instead and made a breakfast drink, Postum.
Postum, yeah.
Have you heard of Postum?
I have heard of Postum.
Yeah, Postum is still around to this day. And the idea was this is a coffee alternative that will break your caffeine addiction. It's going to be just like coffee, except it's, which, I mean, like you could just have decaffeinated coffee,
sure,
right?
Sure, yeah, but it's almost too close.
Yeah. But this is something that you can drink, and you're going to overcome what he called your yellow streak.
Oh, your
cowardly addiction to caffeine.
Ugh.
I will never overcome it.
Don't want to.
So
cool.
Postum,
I like it.
Became a really trendy, and I think it's an interesting touchstone because it was trendy. It was a coffee alternative, and it was being marketed for wellness. Now, I don't know that we were using the word wellness the way we use the word wellness now, mm-hmm. you know? But this was wellness.
It was still pretty loaded, I think. Yeah. Like, wellness has always had that, I think it can carry a lot more linguistic weight because it's a lot more ephemeral, I think.
I had never heard of Postum. I had to look this up to see. And it's really marketed now with, like, this nostalgia to it. Yeah. Like, don't you remember your first Postum?
The old days of Postum.
I don't remember post them ever. But anyway, among all of these different alternatives to coffee, it seems natural to me that if we're talking about like coffee's burnt flavor, roasty flavor, whatever you want to call it, that mushrooms having an earthy,
it's right there,
umami flavor, yeah, it's right there, would become part of it. So it turns out that using mushrooms as coffee replacement dates back to Finland during World War II.
Wow.
Because as I said, wartime was a common time to find these coffee substitutes pop up because you didn't have coffee. You wanted something. You made something. So in the 1940s in Finland, there were a lot of things you couldn't get. You know, sugar was a common shortage, and coffee was among them. And so they started different things, you know, like a lot of different communities were doing. Rye being roasted was a common sort of base to them. And they started adding chaga mushrooms to it. Like, it has this blackened color on the outside of
trying
it.
Trying to get a little closer to the original.
Yeah, and so it would kind of look like coffee. Yeah. You would just steep it overnight, and then you would press it.
Yeah, okay. It's a long preparation. Go ahead.
Well, I mean, I imagine you make it in big batches and have it ready, right?
Yeah, I guess that's true. You think? Like, you have to, there's a big procedure with roasting coffee beans, I guess, too. I shouldn't be put off by the amount of elbow grease I'm putting in up front.
Well, I mean, I think you can be put off if you're considering that you're still not going to get caffeine.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, I'm not going to go through this process.
Yeah.
But anyway, so they would soak the mushrooms overnight, press them all out, and then you could add, like I said, the roasted rye to it, and you would make this beverage that was a coffee substitute. So again, the idea feels really new and trendy, but and this is just one example. That's probably the first known example we have. Certainly there could have been other cultures using mushrooms. And since then, there have been a lot of different places where some sort of mushroom has been, you know, soaked and pressed and turned into a beverage. And this is a known thing. It's important to note that this specific mushroom that they were using can thin your blood. So please don't try this at home unless you consult with a medical professional, especially if you're on certain medications. This is going to be a theme.
Okay, gotcha.
Like everything else in nature, just because it might have some sort of beneficial property doesn't mean
that it doesn't have
some sort of negative effect or interaction or contraindication, just like medicine.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, if you think that these things are medicine, then treat them like medicine. Not everyone can take all medicine, right?
Sure, sure.
So anyway, that was probably our first, like, this is where mushroom coffee we know begins. Certainly there could have been other examples. And if you look at, I think that's what's really interesting. Like, so we have all of this throughout history in times of shortage or whatever, or for a wellness purpose, like postum. If you look at the sort of coffee substitute atmosphere today, it's the same stuff.
Really?
So I was looking up different, they call them beanless coffee brands.
Weird.
Why specifically do you think it's weird? Because I think it's weird, but I wonder why you do.
I feel like it sounds like a coffee that you get if you fart a lot. Like, finally, there's a coffee that won't make me fart. That's what it sounds like too. If you say beanless, it's like, it just makes me feel like I love coffee, but I hate to fart. That's why I don't like it.
As usual, my brain doesn't first go to farts. But what was weird to me about discovering that beanless coffee is a concept is that if something is less, I feel like you're saying there's something negative about the word you put before it, or like it's good that this isn't in it. And I don't know why bean, like caffeine-free, would be a thing.
Yeah.
And like, certainly there are products that are like dairy free because maybe you can't tolerate dairy. And then there's the whole non-GMO, which we have issues with, obviously, that GMO is not inherently evil or dangerous or bad for you. But like the implication is this is bad for you, so we took it out. And I don't know who's out there going, stop beans.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah.
Well, someone no, is. The FDA is.
Yeah.
I'm They're sure. way down there on oh, yeah. the new upside down food, try food. Upside down pyramid, whatever it is. Anyway, but if you look at these coffee alternatives that are out there today, they're using things like fermented chickpeas, date seeds, roasted dandelions, rice hulls, and then a lot of them contain mushrooms. I looked up like the first one that I found, this Atomo, it contains which mushroom do we have? Lion's mane. So a lot of these are mushroom-based coffees. And some of them, their selling point is they don't have caffeine, period.
Okay.
That's it.
That sucks.
Like, if you read the thing, they're like, look, this is better for you because it doesn't have caffeine.
Okay. It's too bad.
And I understand if you're trying to avoid caffeine. Okay, great. But for a lot of them, they're kind of saying, not only do we not have caffeine, but we're giving you some sort of health advantage. And I think that's interesting because a lot of the coffee substitutes, other than Postum, were not trying to give you any kind of wellness advantage. They were just trying to give you the feeling of coffee without having coffee.
Yeah.
So this isn't just that. It's like, you don't want to drink coffee because of the caffeine. Here's something that you could drink. It's, this is going to make you better. A lot of them will tell you they're going to give you energy from some other source. That's such a popular thing in the wellness industry, natural energy.
Right.
And what they mean is no caffeine, except sometimes wellness products
do
absolutely do contain caffeine.
Yeah, sometimes there is, which, and you're like, hey, this gives me a little bit of extra energy. No kidding?
Yeah.
Look at the chart.
And they're like natural energy, and it's like, well, it's caffeine. But they're going to try to tell you that you're going to get energy and focus without the jitters. That's a really common, because caffeine gives you jitters. This is going to give you all of the benefits of caffeine,
can
but without the jitters.
Can we talk about jitters for a second?
Yeah,
I don't know that I've ever – I don't know what people mean when they say that. Like, I have never experienced whatever that is. I mean, maybe I have experienced it, but I've never, like – maybe it's just because I've been drinking coffee steadily and effectively since I was in college, but, like – what is the jitters?
I have experienced the jitters before.
Okay.
At least what I think that means from a colloquial perspective. At times, especially in residency, I would just be mindlessly drinking coffee throughout the course of an entire night. So we are talking a lot of coffee consumption, thoughtlessly consuming coffee, tossing it back quickly in between things to go into rooms. And so probably drinking much, much more caffeine than I would on a regular basis, and not what I would recommend. I would not recommend just, you know, thoughtlessly chugging caffeine all day. Certainly, we shouldn't. That's not good for you. And in those moments, what I have experienced, aside from the fact that I definitely got some runs of supraventricular tachycardia, my heart rate was way too high. I don't have that anymore. But I also experienced a feeling of, it's almost like when you get the bugs crawling inside your skin. Have you ever had that sort of?
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah.
Yeah. That formication is the name.
I have been very consistent about my coffee intake, though. I guess maybe I'm just not mixing it up enough.
But I've had that moment where I feel like inside I'm shaking, but I'm not shaking on the outside, but I'm shaking on the inside. And it feels like if I try to pick something up, I'm going to drop it and I don't know. It's a very uncomfortable. I have experienced that but again, that's not just from drinking coffee. It's from drinking way too much caffeine.
I think I would have just assumed that was me if I started feeling that way. You know, just the wonders of being me. I just feel scared inside, kind of shaking inside. Yeah, maybe I just would have mistaken that for regular brain activity.
Well, I mean, I think certainly other things can give you jitters.
That's true.
So here's what.
Also, sometimes though, coffee makes me really sleepy. So I don't know.
Oh man, doesn't do that. Okay, the only reason that coffee makes me sleepy is if I still haven't had enough.
There's another reason. Whoa, sheesh. Don't even talk to you until you've had your coffee, right? There's another reason, too, but it's if your energy is an applied kinesiology. If your energies are flopped, then caffeine makes you sleepy and, like, NyQuil will make you energized. And you have to do some sort of, like, energy switching to fix that back.
That is not real.
You passed my test.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so mushroom coffee specifically. There are a lot of different brands out there. They use different mushrooms. What are they claiming? And is there any reason to claim that this is anything other than just it's a sort of like coffee, it's got mushrooms in it, and if you like it, you can drink it, right?
Right.
Okay, so the most common species of mushrooms, lion's mane, chaga, which we've already mentioned, reishi, and cordyceps. Cordyceps is the one that people freak out about because there's certain kinds of that fungi that can infect bugs and turn them into like zombies. And so I think there's a lot of writing out there that sort of connects that to you could use that in a fictional sense as like a zombie apocalypse kind of thing. Anyway, so those are the mushrooms that most commonly are in the various wellness coffee brands you can buy. Lion's mane will tell you that it will be good for your brain, make you think clearer, make you make your brain work better, basically. Chaga is supposed to be antioxidant. Reishi is supposed to be good for your immune system. And cordyceps is just like, that's that natural energy that they talk about. Okay. They'll tell you that you can get natural energy. Now, have there been studies done on these things? Yes. So let me talk about just briefly, what do we know? Lion's mane first, when we talk about cognitive function, brain function. So a lot of the stuff that they do, that they've done, is either in like a lab model or in an animal model. And as we've talked about many times on the show, just because something works in a mouse doesn't mean it's going to work in a human. So they've done a lot of studies in animals and found some, like, I don't know, basically animals have better brain function after being exposed to lion's mane. So we've seen that. Like, they can do a maze better. Mm-hmm. There was a study that looked at humans. There was a Japanese study, and specifically individuals with some sort of cognitive decline or impairment, like dementia.
Okay.
So somebody who we're trying to boost them back to their baseline functioning, not take them from baseline to limitless.
Yeah.
And it did, it was a very small sample, and it did show maybe some improvement compared to placebo. But it was, again, just the kind of study that you would say, interesting result, not sure if it means anything, we should replicate it in a larger group to see. But in terms of, like, if you don't have any cognitive decline, would this make you smarter than you already are? We don't have any evidence right now to show that, you know, if you start eating lion's mane, you're going to become limitless. Do you want me to start talking about chaga?
Yeah, talk about chaga.
Again, a lot of these are preclinical studies when it comes to chaga, like reducing inflammation. Is it antioxidant? There's so much interest in reducing inflammation. There's so many things that in a lab will show some sort of antioxidant properties. We really don't have a lot of there's almost no human data, nothing that is significant enough to mention in terms of that. So we don't know. And cordyceps, again, there's been some small research.
What's your name for that? I don't like that choice of word there, cordyceps. It sounds like a tool. I don't think that should be what they call that. I'll come up with something better, see if I can get going.
They've mainly looked at it in athletes to look at, like, do you fatigue slower? And studies are mixed. They're very small. It's inconclusive.
All right.
So, like, the point of all this is, we don't really know if they do these things yet. There have been some small studies, most of them not in humans, that have suggested possibly. At this point, we can't say conclusively that these mushroom coffees are going to do anything for you other than be an alternative to coffee. Some of them do have caffeine, I should note. So that would be an advantage if you're trying to avoid caffeine. Then I guess certainly, and you enjoy the flavor of these coffees, then that would be an advantage. But some of them do have caffeine, so you got to check. You need to read the packaging, because some of them have the mushroom stuff, and they talk about antioxidant and all that other thing, but then also they do have caffeine in them.
All right.
So that would be a problem. So, I mean, for most people, it's probably fine. I will say that some people have, well, I mean, obviously you can be allergic to mushrooms. Some people have some stomach discomfort with mushroom preparations, so I wouldn't advise it if it's upsetting your stomach. Although, I mean, coffee makes a lot of people go to the bathroom.
That's true.
So, you know.
Thank goodness for that, too.
But you might have some discomfort. And then, again, some mushrooms will interact with medications you might be taking, specifically if you're on any kind of anticoagulant, a blood thinner, anything that has to do with your immune system, anything that has to do with diabetes management. I would talk to your healthcare provider before substituting your coffee with mushroom coffee if you're on any of those kinds of medications. There have been rare cases of, like, liver toxicity from the reishi mushrooms. That's probably a quantity issue, I would guess. However, it's just a good reminder that just because something is quote-unquote natural, comes from the earth, grows, that doesn't mean that it's completely benign and you can just eat or drink as much of it as you want. Just like I drank so much coffee that my insides were vibrating. You could drink so much mushroom coffee that you give yourself diarrhea, or it interferes with your medications, or certainly that you harm one of your internal organs. That's true for most things. Yeah.
Even water.
There is a limit that you can drink too much. So I think if you want to try a mushroom coffee, this is what I told my dad, because my dad really likes mushrooms. This is why he wanted to try mushroom coffee. Not for any of the wellness benefits. He likes mushrooms. He likes coffee. He thought he would like mushroom coffee.
So in his sense, it is a thing.
It is a thing. What I would tell him is...
I doubt you get that great, robust mushroom flavor from it, though, right? That can't be what they're striving for. I mean,
I've never tried it. I don't know. Maybe. But here's what I would tell you. If you're like my dad, and you like mushrooms, and you like coffee, certainly you could try it. If you need that caffeine, and you don't want to cut caffeine out, I would get one that has caffeine in it. I would drink it in moderation, just like coffee should be drunk. And I would also, again, if you have any other underlying health conditions or if you're on medications, I would consult with your healthcare provider before replacing coffee with it. For most people, it's not a big deal. But also, if you're looking to become limitless...
This may not be the only way. Is that fair to say?
I would not recommend... I mean, I don't know if it's more expensive. I'm going to guess that it is.
Than the limitless pill? That's tough to say.
I would not invest your money in this if you're trying to cure, treat, manage.
Cure, treat, diagnose.
Or elevate yourself beyond the bounds of human comprehension.
Thank you so much for listening to our show. Thanks to the taxpayers for the use of their song Medicines as the intro and outro of our program. And thanks to you for listening. That's going to do it for us. Until next time, my name is Justin McElroy.
I'm Sydney McElroy.
And as always, don't drill a hole in your head.
All right. Yeah.
Maximum Fun.
A worker-owned network
of artist-owned shows.
Supported directly by you.